This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Hi, I'm Ron Paul, former congressman and presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about a product that might just save your lives. It's a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. With this great product, you can freeze dry the food your family loves, and it will last for 25 years. Our ancestors preserved and prepared for difficult times, shouldn't we? To learn more, go to HarvestRight.com or call 800-594-4635. That's 800-594-4635.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
In earlier episodes, we told you about radical Islamic terrorism's long history in Africa. America's first foreign war was with the Islamists known as the Barbary Pirates, mostly from Tripoli and Algiers. Then we carried the discussion forward to Nigeria's ultra-deadly and despicable Boko Haram group, terrorists who have killed thousands, sold thousands more into sex slavery, and who are so cowardly they use little girls as suicide bombers. In this chapter, we explore another radical African terrorist cell with ties to Al-Qaeda in the Middle East and possibly Boko Haram in Nigeria. The group is Somalian-based, called Al-Shabaab. Al-Shabaab practices radical Salafi jihadism and Wahhabism. They believe in a very violent Islamic militancy and boast a troop strength of between 7 and 9,000 militants. In 2006, Al-Shabaab gained control over Somalia's capital city, Mogadishu. That raised fear in Ethiopia that the group's violence would spill over into their country. So in December of 2006, the Ethiopian military launched an offensive into Mogadishu and successfully drove Al-Shabaab out of the city. Ethiopia's actions inflamed the group, and Al-Shabaab then attacked Ethiopia's forces in central and southern Somalia, taking control of those areas. Al-Shabaab's goal was to topple the Somalian government and replace it with Islamic rule and Sharia law. One of Shabaab's most infamous attacks took place in 2013 in Nairobi, Kenya's most upscale mall, which was owned at the time by Israelis. A group of Al-Shabaab terrorists stormed in and began shooting those shopping on that Saturday afternoon. The terrorists would pause at times to ask their victims whether they were Muslim. If the response was no, they were shot. Kenyan police responded with a huge force. Then, later that day, the military. And the fighting lasted 48 hours.
We have this breaking news overseas in the capital of Kenya.
Gunshots inside a shopping mall in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
Gunmen with heavy artillery stormed a very popular shopping mall.
As gunmen opened fire on shoppers, the gunmen reportedly firing AK-47.
And threw a grenade at the entrance, and then they started shooting indiscriminately.
An Arabic reporter interviewed Shabaab's second in command and asked why Al-Shabaab attacked the Kenyan mall.
Kenya attacked us. We have said many times, stay away from us. Leave our land, our people. Stay away from us. Stop fighting us. We warned them again and again, but they ignored us. So we had to spill their blood to send a message. Their women aren't better than ours. Their sons aren't better than ours. Their children aren't better than ours. When they kill our people, we kill theirs.
Are you going to continue attacking Kenya?
For us, this was not a war. This was just a message.
It was a message that took the lives of 67 innocent people and wounded 175 more. Al-Shabaab extremist jihad had the vocal support of neighboring Kenya's highest profile Muslim sheikh.
Islam, true Islam, is the Islam that is being portrayed as extremism. That is the true Islam.
This man, known by his nickname Makaburi, was Kenya's highest profile radical Muslim sheikh.
I will follow Islam as per the teachings of the Prophet, period. Now, if that makes them want to kill me, they're welcome. I will be glad to die for my religion.
And in April of 2014, Makaburi was gunned down at a bus stop by unknown assailants. Before he died, we spent time with Makaburi, who openly supported the Somalia-based jihadi army, Al-Shabaab. Al-Shabaab said the Westgate Mall attack was payback for Kenyan military strikes on their home base in Somalia, a sentiment the Makaburi shared.
In the Islamic Sharia, we have revenge. The Kenyan army is doing the same thing to people in Somalia. They are killing innocent civilians in Somalia.
Even though Al-Shabaab attacked the Westgate Mall in the capital city of Nairobi, Kenya's anti-terror forces put the hammer down in their second largest city, Mombasa, with deadly results for both jihadis and the police.
You think it's just a matter of time before the government is going to kill you?
Yeah.
Clearly, Kenya's government deals with Al-Shabaab, terrorism in general, and radical extremists a little differently than most. They often kill them without trial, as they did with Makaburi and another imam, Sheikh Abud Rogo Muhammad, who, from his mosque in the city of Mombasa, preached that violence was the only way to reach their desired Islamic goal of Sharia law in Kenya. Rogo was arrested, then released by the courts. What took place after his release is discussed in this interview from one of the sharpshooters from the Kenyan counterterror unit responsible for eliminating threats, such as the one posed by Rogo when he said he's a sharpshooter and sharpshooters never arrest.
We don't arrest. We never. In Red Company, we are sharpshooters. And why should a sharpshooter be taken to arrest?
So the orders are very clear then?
Yeah.
To eliminate.
Red Company is a sharpshooter, and the sharpshooter is always on target.
According to the officers we spoke to, the order to assassinate Muslim clerics comes from a powerful body at the heart of the Kenyan government, the National Security Council.
Strangely, Al-Shabaab's radical brand of Islamic extremism has proven appealing to a certain group of Americans.
Fox News has learned around 40 Americans and Somali Americans are claimed to be in East Africa right now, serving for the U.S.-designated Islamist terror group Al-Shabaab. This is more than 10 times higher than the figure previously given. David Ibsen of the Counter-Extremism Project says the high-profile atrocities Al-Shabaab is known for, such as the attack on Kenya's Westgate Mall, in which over 60 died, and the group's strict Islamic fundamentalist lifestyle, are what is attracting so many Americans to join them.
Al-Shabaab recently used a spokesman for one of their propaganda videos who sounded suspiciously American. And at the end of his rhetoric, to accentuate his point, he used a clip of Donald Trump.
Yesterday, America was a land of slavery, segregation, lynching, and Ku Klux Klan. And tomorrow, it will be a land of religious discrimination and concentration camps.
Okay, so remember this. So listen. Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what is going on.
Another one of these radicalized Americans, this one not from Michigan, but instead from the Deep South, Daphne, Alabama, was Omar Hamami. Hamami was raised Southern Baptist by an Irish-American Baptist mother and a Syrian Muslim father. And unlike what is typically heard in cases like this, was not shunned by his classmates. He was not a loner. He was elected president of his sophomore class in high school. He was bright and considered a leader among his classmates. And he even dated one of the more popular girls in school. However, after his father rediscovered his Islamic roots, Omar converted to Islam as a teenager, and by his early 20s had become radicalized. Several years ago, he suddenly uprooted his life, moved to Somalia to join Al-Shabaab's terror organization, where he rose quickly through the ranks to the inner leadership circle. Along the way, he recorded this.
Mortar by mortar, shell by shell, only gonna stop when I send him to hell.
They lifted Somalia's stupid firearm ban after the warlords were ruined and ran. Now in their place, how Bashir all stand from the east to the west, the heads gonna span.
Word by word.
Shockingly, no Grammy nominations resulted from his efforts. Hamami eventually fell out of favor with Shabaab's leadership, who were offended by his attempts to gain fame and by the fact that his kind of music was forbidden by their brand of Islam. Finally, after several false alarms, Hamami, who now went by the name Abu Mansur al-Amariki, or the American, was in fact ambushed and killed by al-Shabaab fighters. Still, many other Americans remain with the group in Somalia and Kenya. American President Barack Obama has recognized the need to neutralize al-Shabaab.
What we discussed was the importance of, number one, continuing the effort to root out al-Shabaab's capacity inside of Somalia, working jointly. And as we speak, Kenya is working with Ethiopia and with the United States and others to further degrade al-Shabaab's space of operations inside of Somalia. So we have to keep that pressure going, even as we're strengthening the Somalian government, because part of the reason that al-Shabaab was able to emerge as a significant threat to the region was a non-functioning government, effectively a failed state in Somalia for so long.
Hopefully, each of the world leaders involved in this fight will commit to aggressively doing what it takes to resolve and eliminate this serious threat. In the next episode, we take a look at what happens when the world doesn't take that threat seriously.
Glenn Beck.
The founder of this company, 10 years ago, was trying to sell his house. He's kind of an important guy. And he said to his wife, if this is what it's like for us, how do people who have no clout ever get around this? So he started a company and it went into business, I think, 3 years ago. Their deal is their word is their bond. And they are people that listen to the show. They are just like you. Now, how can I say that? Because I'm the founder of the company. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.